God is good. And all the time. We also know that God, through His Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ, has given the church three commands. And those three commands sum up the entirety of the Scriptures. And that is to love God, love others, and go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that is what we do here every Sunday, and I pray every week for every person at the Heart of Christ Church, because that is the heart of Jesus Christ. It's what He taught us, was to love God, love others, and go and be the salvation that He has shown us that is Himself. So today we're going to continue in that as we look at our time of preaching here today. And I think it's funny because I don't consider myself a preacher. I look at myself as being a teacher. I am here to teach you about the Scriptures, to lead you to He who is our preacher, and that's Jesus the Christ. Because He has preached all things through this Word. For He is the Word, according to John 1:1. Amen? And that Word is truth. So today, we're going to look at that. And if you notice the sermon title today, this is meant to be an encouragement, and I pray that it is. It says, "Thy power throughout the universe displayed." Does anybody recognize that topic, that title? I think we just sang that, didn't we? Yeah, that was in our opening hymn, "Thy power throughout the universe displayed." As we sang here as our opening hymn today, "How great thou art." Well, today's going to be kind of a unique thing, and I've done this in the past, but I don't know that I've done it while I've been here at this church with you. And so we're going to start, and I will show you the uniqueness of it, because I honestly believe with all my heart that every church has two holy books. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? There's only one holy book, right? There's only one holy book, the true holy book, the Bible, right? But I believe that there's a second. It's called your hymnal. I just got a couple of, okay, I see where you're going. Because when we look at these old hymns, and some of them aren't so old, some of them are into the 70s and what have you, we realize that the hymnists simply took the words of the Bible and put them to music. They have taken the doctrine of our faith and they've given us a foundation on which to rest it. And that foundation resonates with all of our hearts, doesn't it? And that's what I want you to understand today. You don't need to memorize the Bible when you know the hymns. Because when you know the hymns, you know Him. And that's what I want you to think about today. As we think about "Thy power throughout the universe displayed." Open your Bibles, the big one. Open the real Bible. And turn to the book of Isaiah, if you would, please. The book of Isaiah. We're going to be in chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25, and we're going to begin at the first verse, and we are going to read through verse 8. We're going to read Isaiah chapter 25, verses 1 through 8, and then I'm going to go back and break it down as I normally do. "So unto us, let us hear the word of the Lord. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name, for you have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. You have made a city into a heap, a fortified city into a ruin. A palace of strangers is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, a strong people will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. For you have been a defense for the helpless, a defense for the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a rainstorm against a wall, like heat in drought. You subdue the uproar of aliens, like heat by the shadow of a cloud. The song of the ruthless is silenced. The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for you, all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces with marrow and refined aged wine. And on this mountain, he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Amen. When we look at this psalm, how many of you realize that psalm is truly the basis for how great thou art? That entire psalm is literally the basis for how great thou art. And I want you to think about that as we're going through here. Because the very first thing that this psalmist talks about here is the fact that God prophesies. It says, "You have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness." How many of us long to know what the future holds? Well, not only does God tell us what the future holds, but he tells us he wants us to know him. Because what good does it do you to know what the future holds if you don't know the one who holds the future? Because if you don't know him, you have no idea what he's actually trying to tell you. It's all a puzzle, and it seems impossible to put it together. I was doing some study here the other week, and I came up with, this is kind of neat. There's a gentleman by the name of John Walber, and John was a faithful student of the Bible. He authored many books. And one of the books that he authored was a book that describes the fact that there are over 1,000 prophecies from Genesis to Revelation. Over 1,000. At the time of that book's writing, and John Walber is still alive, at the time of that book's writing, over 500 of the prophecies of the Bible have come true. There are still roughly 450 or thereabouts that need to happen and will happen. How do we know they will happen? Because they're future events. We know that these are future events. They have not happened yet. And how many of us would say that, wow, what a coincidence? You know, two or three would be a coincidence. But 500 is more than a coincidence. It is the only book that has ever been written that accurately describes the event to the point of its fulfillment and cannot be disparaged. That we must say this is the fulfillment of what this word speaks because of the eras that it happens in and the way it happens in accordance with the way it was recorded years before. When I think about how these things of the Old Testament and how these things of the New Testament focus us laser pierced towards a future that we already know the destination of, but yet we wonder, how can we get through this life? You and I need to understand God has given us prophecy that we may be prepared to meet the future. That's part of God's power throughout the universe displayed. He wants his people to be ready for those things which happen. How many of you, if you had a crystal ball and it would tell you what was going to happen in the next 12 hours, would be looking at that thing 24 hours a day? So your entire life would be wasted, wouldn't it? Because all you would do is focus on that ball. Why don't we do that with God? Why don't we focus on him? He tells us what's coming. Well, gee, I don't know. Well, because that crystal ball is something that's right there in front of us, and it can enthrall us, and it has power. He is the power. And he is available to each and every one of us. You know, how many people do you think bought lottery tickets over this past couple weeks? What's it up to now? It's all but $2 billion now, isn't it? It's real close. We were talking about that on the way to see Brian. Ruth Ann said she won the lottery. She still has $2 in her wallet. That's a wonderful way to look at it, sis. Because that's the truth. We will take the chances here on earth, but will we take the opportunities of eternity? And that is in the hands of the one who knows the future, holds the future, is the future. And we know what's coming. It is amazing to me because I think about the psalmist here, and here's what I was going to do, and here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn to the second holy book, and I'm going to read from the second holy book, from the 16th chapter of the second holy book. The 16th chapter means it's song number 16 in our hymnal. And it says this to us. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze. I want you to think about what God is what the hymnist is saying there about God. This is a God of the universe, the God of taking nothing and establishing everything. But he's also the God that is in the whisper. He's in the babbling of the brook. Because he's a God of life, he's a God of love. But I also want us to think that he's the God of the thunderstorm. He's the God of the tornado. He's the God of the hurricane. He's the God of the wildfire. He's the God of judgment. But he's also the God of peace and quietness and stillness. It's the God who calls our name. Who are we but dust? And yes, we know we are dust. How do we know we're dust? Because God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth. And he has said to us, from dust you have come, to dust you will return. But yet, there's something about us. What is it? Thy power throughout the universe displayed. You know there are created beings in this world that were created from eternity past and will live unto eternity future. And they're called angels, right? We know there are angels out there. And they are a far superior being. No, they are not a far superior being. They will answer to us. Do you realize the priority that God has placed on you? You need to understand something. You are the epitome of God's power throughout the universe displayed. All this was created for what? You, for me, for those of us who would choose to come to a living God freely, wantingly, and willingly. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about what's going on right now in our world. I want you to think about where we are. Just yesterday, how many of you saw what happened yesterday on the news? Israel was attacked. Israel's at war. How many of you realize in this book it says there will be wars and rumors of wars? How many of you realize in this book it says that Gog and Magog will come against, that's Ezekiel 38, Gog and Magog will come against Israel. God will put a hook in their jaw and draw them down. I'm telling you right now, the hook is being set. We are going to see this thing coming into fruition. I want you to understand something. How many of you understand what the Iron Dome is? The Iron Dome, there you go. We got a couple of you. Well, let me inform the rest of you out there. The Iron Dome over Israel is a radar that is set up that nothing can come into Israel's airspace and not be seen. It is the best radar in the world. We don't have anything that compares to it. The United States does not have anything that compares to it, because with it is also a system that automatically shoots rockets back in defense. We don't have anything like it here in the United States. But guess what we do have? We and one other nation. We have the technology to jam it. 150 missiles were shot into Israel. And they didn't see them coming. There's only two nations that have the intelligence to stop that. One of them's us. You figure out who the other one is. I'm going to tell you right now, we are living in end times. We are living in the day where we are going to see that great and faithful day of our Lord. Now, Pastor Rich, when's it coming? I don't know. I can't give you a time. I didn't get that invitation yet. I don't think I get it until the trumpet sounds, and then you're there. But until that day, I am told that I am to see the signs of the times. Because God has written it in His Word. He has given us the prophecy to show us that these things are coming and are yet going to come. We need to understand that we see God as who He is, but we need to remember that all mankind has been shown who He is. Turn in your Bibles, keeping a marker there in Isaiah because we're coming back, but turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, please. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. I'm throwing papers and books and everything everywhere up here. Let me move some stuff around. Romans, we're going to be in chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. God has prepared us for all of these things that are going to come. But we need to allow God to move in our hearts. We've got to be different. We have got to remember we have a living hope. Can you see why I pick these songs? Because when you and I realize that we are in Christ and Christ is in us, there is no reason for us to be afraid. There's no reason for us to fear the things of this world, but to cheer them on, hastening the day until the salvation of all mankind. But that means we need to be at work. That means we need to be the ones taking the Scriptures out and being the Scriptures out here in the world. From the book of Romans, it says this, from the 18th verse of the first chapter. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Brothers and sisters, you and I cannot look at ourselves. We cannot look upon this earth and not know that there is a Creator. I walk out here and I look in the parking lot and it's filled with cars. Did they just happen? Absolutely not. We see a design. And we understand that there was a maker. That maker was man. When we look upon this human body, when we look upon the world and we see all the things that are out there, do they tell us that it was something that simply happened by chance and billions of years, we have to do that. No. It tells us that there was a Creator who had a design, and He didn't only use it once, but He used it multiple times. Why? Because the design was good. I want you to think about that. How many living creatures on this planet have a nervous system? Everyone. How many of the living creatures on this planet have a circulatory system? Everyone. When we start thinking about these complex systems that are in our bodies, it could not have happened one day at a time. It had to happen all at one time or it wouldn't work. None of us would be here because everything would have died. It is such a fallacy to think that there are eons of time. We have a God who gives an illusion of time because that is what confounds the world. The wisdom of the wise is the foolishness of lies. Did you catch that? The wisdom of the wise is the foolishness of lies. Because the wise man thinks not of God, but of self. But the man who thinketh upon God realizes he is nothing, and God is everything. That's where we have to find ourselves. Because God is going to show His power throughout this universe. I want you to understand, you are the desire of that very power. The very creation of stars is there for what? To draw you to Him. To understand that nothing that was created was not created without Him. And everything that is created was created by Him and for Him and through Him. Can I get an amen? That's the Word of God. You and I are the reason for this. And here he tells us very evidently that people reject him even though they know he exists. Even though they know there is no way this could happen by accident. Even though we lie to ourselves, we wonder. So we turn back to the psalm, or we turn back to Isaiah. And turning back, we look to the next part of what God speaks here through His servant. And I pulled my bookmark out, so I have to find it again. I pulled on the wrong end of the string. From verse 6, he tells us this. He said, "The Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain, a banquet of aged wine, choice pieces of marrow, and refined aged wine. On this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples, even the veil which is stretched over all nations. He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces and will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." Now, I want you to think about what the psalmist said, because this is verses 3 and 4. And the psalmist says to us this, "And when I think that God, his son not sparing, sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art." When I think of those words and I look upon the words that God wrote here in his hymn, I have to ask myself, so where does this speak about Jesus dying? Do you realize that he says the Lord of hosts will prepare a lavish banquet for all peoples on this mountain? What mountain? Mount Calvary. You and I need to understand the psalmist here in Isaiah was looking forward. This is prophecy of the coming Messiah and his death. The very psalm I'm reading telling us that it speaks about things yet to come is one of the things that's yet to come in Isaiah's day. But we know it has come. Jesus Christ has died. And the veil was torn in two. The veil was the separation that you could not enter in to God lest you die. But now we can come alive to God. And by that I mean spiritually. Yes, is it appointed unto man to die once and then the judgment? Amen, church? But we need to understand, we can come into God alive. We do not need to go through that physical separation from God. We come in through Jesus Christ. He is that banquet. It is His body. It is His blood that is spoken of in that very peace. Because the meat that is going to be set before us and the wine that is going to be set before us is the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you see it, church? Do you understand it, church? Because the veil that is torn in this scripture, it says, even the veil, it says, on this mountain he will swallow up the covering which is over all peoples. That's verse 7. Even the veil which is stretched over all nations, and he will swallow up death for all time. When Jesus Christ died, the veil was rent in two and you and I could come in. Why? Because death had been satisfied. The veil that is spoken of there, the covering that is spoken of there, is death itself. That is the separation that all men fear. How many of you fear death? I want you all to know, no hand is up. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. I have no fear of death. I absolutely no fear of death. I should be dead 7 times. In fact, you all know that if you know me for any length of time. I should be dead 7 times over. I mean, my heaven's sakes, I had 5 heart attacks in 2 minutes. That's 5 times. I consider that one because it all happened at one time. 14 pulmonary emboli. That's 14 more times I should be dead. I consider that one time. How many times does God have to take us to that edge and bring us back to understand that He is God? I do not believe the Bible. I know the Bible is true. I don't need to believe something. Believe means I think it's true. I know it's true. I know God. I know Jesus Christ. I have a relationship with Him because He has kept me from death. He has kept me in life, and He will keep me forever and ever and ever. And on that day, with shouts of acclamation, in other words, all of heaven is going to sing out when Jesus says, "Go get my bride." Can you imagine what's going to happen in heaven on that day? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to step out. It doesn't say He comes here. He meets us in the clouds. In other words, He's going to be up there in heaven waiting for us in the second heaven. And we're going to be transcended from this world to that. And in that, we're going to hear all the angels singing in glory. That's a shout of acclamation. That's a shout of praise. That's a shout of acceptance. And can you imagine all those saints who are up there now? Oh my goodness, are they going to be shouting, because here comes the bride and we're getting married today. And what a day it'll be. Oh, glory to the church. And then for all the rest of our lives, we will proclaim how great Thou art. The power of God divine, Thy power throughout the universe displayed is what? Sinners saved by grace from a God who is a God of destruction, because nothing unholy can come before Him, is a God of mercy, a God of love, a God of caring, a God of power, a God of strength that wants you to know Him in the fullness of your being. That's the God I love. That's the God I know. He's not a God to fear. He's a God to revere, because He is the God of wonder, the God of hope, the God of all mercies. And He has given Himself on the cross of Calvary that each and every one of us may know Him and walk therein. This world is trying to kill us and destroy us. We know it. The prophecies speak about it. We see all these things coming. How many of you are waiting for the next pandemic to start? Oh, I see it coming. I see it coming. It's on the horizon. We're told that there will be pestilence and famine. It's coming. But when it does, I'm not going to fear, for my God is with me, and I know His name. Jesus the Christ. Can I get an amen, church? When you and I understand that, walking in that truth, we need to realize that we have a high priest who is more than able. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 16 in the book of Hebrews. Turn in your Bibles to chapter 16 in the book of Hebrews. I mean chapter 6. Sorry, folks. Chapter 6. I don't know why I wrote 16 there and 6 there. I've got it both, Pete. Chapter 6. Verse 17. I don't know why. I did. I wrote it here twice. Here it tells me what I'm supposed to read, and then here's the verse that is the poignant verse. And I have it 16 there and 6 here. So it's chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. He says, in the same way, God desiring even more to show the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. You and I have a high priest who is there, and that is Jesus the Christ. He is the Son of God, very God, and He is our propitiation. He paid the price that we could not pay. He is in the order of Melchizedek, in other words, a priest from everlasting past to everlasting future. And in that we may come. Where? Through the veil, because He is that veil. He tore that veil. He rent that veil. It is ineffective for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Yes, we will perish on this earth. This body will die. How many of you want the next body? Amen. This one's falling apart. I want a new one. I don't want this one repaired. I want a new one. I know people that have replacement knees and replacement hips and replacement this and replacement that. It's still going to wear out. I want the one that has an eternal warranty. And what a day that'll be. And I glory unto that day because I know that God has promised it. I don't believe it. I know that God has promised it, and I will receive it. And that's where we need to walk, because when we enter into what was just said here, there are two unchangeable things. What are the two unchangeable things? It says there are two unchangeable things which it is impossible for God to lie. What are the two unchangeable things? This is kind of amazing because he doesn't tell us here, does he? He says there are two unchangeable things that is God is it's impossible for him to lie. The first is the Word, and the second is the Spirit. The Word and the Spirit. Jesus says, "My Word shall never pass away." And the Spirit testifies to the Word, right? And the Spirit and the Word are truth. God can't lie. God cannot lie, and you and I know it, because there is no place we can go that will tell us the future except for the one who holds the future in His hands. Brothers and sisters, God's given us the Scriptures for a very, very good reason. He wants us to know the way. You know the way, He said, right? You know the way. And then what did Philip say? He said, well, Pat, your Father, Jesus, you know, we don't know the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father but by me. And all we have to do is look to Jesus and say, Lord, forgive me. We got to repent. You know, this is the one thing, and I hate this because the world doesn't tell you this. Many preachers out there don't tell you this. They just tell you, oh, just believe on Jesus. That's what the Scripture says. Just believe on Jesus. No, Jesus Himself told us we need to repent. We need to repent. That means turn from your sin. Did not Jesus say, if you love me, you will obey my commands? Jesus told us to repent. Repent. Turn from your sin. And then walk with Him. Tell the world that Jesus is your Savior. And then live like it. Brothers and sisters, we have a hope. This world is falling apart. How many of you are waiting for the next shoe to drop? I know I am, because every shoe that drops gets us closer to the day. Hasten the day. How many of you are praying, Lord, now? Why not? But then we also have to put feet on those prayers, and that means we need to be about being the Word of God in this world and giving the Word of God to this world. Do you hear me? I want to see some Bibles disappear off the table out here today. I'm not speaking facetiously. I want to see some Bibles going out into this community. I want to hear your testimonies. In fact, I'm going to do this. For the next 2 weeks, I want you to take a Bible with you no matter where you go. Put it in your pocket, put it in your purse, and God will give you the opportunity to give it away. But I want you to remember it, because when it happens, I want you to be able to come back here. And when I say today, I want somebody to testify, I'm talking about that very thing, and I want somebody to stand up and tell how God led them to someone to give the word to. Did y'all catch that? I want you to take the Bibles. I want you to take them out. I want you to remember and pray, asking God, show me who needs this word. And when he shows you that person, don't do anything but go up to them and say, I have a free gift for you. And hand them the Bible. If you have to speak, do so. But if not, let your actions speak. And be a person of resolve. And just hold it there. They'll take it because they need it. And watch what God does. And then come and testify. Brothers and sisters, they shall be won by the word of our testimony. Is that not what the scriptures say? The word of our testimony. That means we need to get involved. The word of God is involved in each and every one of us. How much so? Turn in your Bibles to our last scripture. Our last scripture is 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, I actually sat down with God just the other night, because I put this in here probably 2.5 weeks ago when I was working on this. And do you know how many times I have preached this piece of scripture? Verses 3 through 9. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. I swear in my 25 years of preaching now, God has brought me back to 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, at least 50 times. At least 50 times. And I'm like, God, I have said this so many times. Do I need to say it again? And he said, yes, because it's the truth. And your church needs to hear it. You need to hear it. Because I want you to know me. Not believe. Know me. May you know the Lord in these verses from chapter 3, or verse 3 in chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are protected by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as an outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that should come to make you the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating, as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as fathers one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with the perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb, the unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Blessed be the word of our Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you realize what I just spoke to you is thy power throughout the universe displayed? The most powerful beings in all of creation, remember, God's outside of creation because he's the creator. The angels long to look into these things. And they are far more powerful than any of us. Wrong chicken. Because that power is not for them. The power of the universe is reserved for who? I want everybody here, to say me. Say it again.
Me.
Say it again.
Me.
God has reserved all the power of the universe for you. For you, that he may bring you to life with him forever. We who have spit on him, we who have turned our back on him, we who live in this world which tries to devour us every day, God has placed all the power of the universe at our disposal to bring us to salvation, and the eternal estate is ours. It does not belong to anyone or anything else. You are his treasure. May we live as though we know that to be the truth. Would you pray with me? Father God, how humbled I am this day to realize in my very soul that everything that is, everything that has been, and everything that will be is for but one purpose. And Lord, that purpose is each and every one of us individually to know you, to love you, and to receive you. For there is no other purpose for life. You are the purpose. Your hope, your love, your grace, your power are all there so that we, a created being, could know of all the greatness in all the universe, the God of all creation has chosen dust to love him and to be one with him. Father, that is the heart's longing to know why we exist. What is the purpose of life? And the purpose, God, is to love you, that you have already loved us. May each of us here go from this place knowing that we have a purpose far beyond anything we could hope. And that purpose is simply to love you forever and to be loved by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. www.theheartofchrist.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.